League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I'm going to need you to lower your expectations a little bit.
What the? KFMC, Mud Bellevue, Houston. ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the show as we open up hour number two. It is Barry, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you may be in H-Town. Coming off the big Astros win in Game 6 against the Yankees. Looking forward to the World Series against the Nationals. And eventually, at some point, we're going to talk about your Texans. How about that?
Yeah, do we have to? Somebody wanted to know, did the Astros face the Nationals this year? No. They wanted to know, if so, what was the record? They did not.
So therefore, there wasn't a record. Let me just clarify for that.
Yeah, they were 0-0. 0-0.
Yeah, that's, see, again.
Not 0-0, 0-0.
Correct. I hate that. That's another one of my technicalities in Adventures in Broadcasting is you never say, like, my phone number is 780. It's 780. Because it's not a letter, it's a number.
I still say O all the time.
I say O all the time.
I don't like it. It's not appropriate. It's not officially the right way to do it.
281-330-8004.
Whatever that number is now going to get inundated with a lot of calls they don't need.
Mike Jones is he? Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm not a Mike Jones fan.
But even Mike Jones doesn't
even know that was it. You want people to send you Houston themed shirts, and you didn't even know that was Mike Jones's number.
I don't listen to Mike Jones.
You get no
shirt. But Tops Drop.
You're out. You get no shirt.
Tops Drop. Why don't you do a T-shirt like that?
Why would I want to do a T-shirt like that?
It'd be fantastic.
I don't know. God.
Best Houstonian song ever, right, Joel?
What?
Tops Drop?
Yeah. Well, speaking of, what are we going to do for Way Back Wednesday? Don't care.
It's only Monday.
Usually we do this tomorrow.
I know. I don't care. Whatever, pick it. I don't care. I'm tired of arguing with you about it.
Songs about T-shirts.
Who's arguing?
We could do that.
Songs about T-shirts.
That'd be pretty outstanding.
Would it? Would it really?
No, just teasing.
Okay.
All right. If the Astros win the World Series, are they now considered a dynasty, or do they need to do this a couple more years?
They need a few more to be called a dynasty, right? Isn't that fair to say? Two out of the past three is amazing.
Yeah, two out of the past three is really, really good. And I think if they continue to make the playoffs, if they make another ALCS in the next year or two, you know, maybe get bounced in the ALDS or lose to a wild card next year, but then following year they're in the ALCS again. Then at that point we can call it a dynasty. Right now, I think that they're trending towards a dynasty.
I think that's fair too.
I think when you look at it, the Spurs and the Patriots are the closest things in our era that we'll ever, in our lifetimes probably, that we'll see that were dynasties. And obviously you can go back to the early days of the Bulls and things like that. But when you look at it to kind of categorize it and clarify it, the Spurs made a run every other year for like a 5 to 7 year span. The Patriots, the same. When you start counting five championships in a short amount of time. So I think that they're on their way to being in the discussion of a team that could achieve that status. But kind of to what Barry said and then some, I think that they have a lot more to achieve before. Because now remember, The flip side of this is you could be the Buffalo Bills and go, 4 or 5 years in a row and lose it all and never have dynasty, but have a different moniker and a different name that you don't want.
Yeah.
So you got to keep winning.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And you got to keep these guys together.
But, getting to the ALCS again, but maybe losing.
Three straight years at the ALCS is an impressive fact.
Right. And then if they get another one in the next year or two, they probably won't get there next year. It's just so hard to get back. But if they did and then, maybe lose or whatever. Like I said, you get 5-6 years and you've had multiple trips to the ALCS and playoff berths. You're a dynasty because everyone thought the Cubs were on their way to a dynasty. Mm-hmm. Look what they did. they flamed out.
But the other thing, too, is the winning or losing doesn't matter when you stack it over a longer period of time. Look at LeBron's run. Mm-hmm. LeBron's not a loser because he went to 8 straight finals. He didn't win them all, but people don't remember that because the feat itself of going to 8 straight finals was so unheard of. So if the Astros keep winning ALCSs and then they come up short in a few World Series, you're going to be quicker to kind of build them as either a dynasty or a team of memory in baseball history because of that kind of achievement, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We have breaking news.
Please tell me.
Do we do the breaking news?
You got music, Nick? Because I love that.
According to Ian Rappaport, 3 minutes ago, the Texans have traded for former Raiders first-round cornerback Gerrion Conley in exchange for a third-round pick, source confirmed.
I'm sorry, in exchange for what?
A third-round pick.
Really? So they were willing to give up that pick that you wanted to hang on to?
Yes. Okay.
All right, so it's not Chris Harris Jr.
No.
Now, the good news would be, one, can he still play? And then, two, tell me that he has years on his contract so that we don't have to worry about him being one and done.
Well, it happened 3 minutes ago, Joel. Give me a second to process the information, all right?
That's what I'm talking about, but you are that guy, so I'm pulling fired up. They got help.
Track. I'm pulling up Spot Track as we speak.
That's what I'm talking about.
Jeez.
What
is that?
Get it going. We ain't got time to waste here. We're breaking news.
He's got a year. I don't know what next year. It's a club option. So he's got this year at $833K.
Bargain.
He's got next year at $1.9 million.
Good.
And then he's got, I think there's a club option in 2021.
Now, give me the real numbers.
So he's an unrestricted free agent in 2022.
Now get to your favorite page about where he ranks.
Amongst
the best in the NFL. Focus? That's what I want. Because right. I don't shy away from Pro Football Focus like others.
I know.
I want to know.
Give me a second.
Get your Google fingers working. Hurry up.
Can he be Chris Harris Jr. or better?
Is he
in the middle of Suckville just getting a second
chance? Get off
that
Pornhub, slowing down your computer.
That's exactly right. Stop getting all that kind of crap.
Did you get it yet?
Yeah, I do. He's ranked 82nd.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. At least they're getting someone better than what they got. For a third round pick, yay me!
Yeesh. Yeah, that's not very good. Let's see here. Conley. He's ranked 82nd. He scores out at a 55.6, which puts him around Ken Webster and Jalen Ramsey. They have Jalen Ramsey at a 55.9.
Okay. Well, that's at least weird. There's hope then, right?
It's kind of weird, though, right?
Now, you know, the Texans are going to put out a release that says he compares favorably with Jalen Ramsey, the former Jaguar in their division, and use that number because they don't want to tell you how bad the suck ranking is right now.
Yeah, because you're right.
See that on Sports.
Chris Harris was 12th, 74.9 in Denver, but they had to do something.
Yeah,
they absolutely had to do something.
Maybe the old John Elway decides to call him up and say, hey, if you need another... I don't even need a third, but if you'll take Chris Harris off my hands, I'm willing to talk.
A third?
God, you give up a third for that instead of the guy I told you to go get. Fuller's going to be out.
Did I tell you about Chris Harris? And what did I tell you? When you were adamant about it, I said there's no way because there are a ton of other teams in this league that have more to offer because the Texans don't have anything to offer. So
you told me you wouldn't give up a third.
That's what I'm saying. You don't think that they didn't hit up Denver and say, hey, we'll give you a third round pick for Chris Harris. And Denver said, you're crazy because Philly's over here offering a second. The Vikings are over here offering a second. No way.
If that was the case, he'd be gone already.
Well, maybe there's still a bidding war going on. You don't know.
You don't know that Bill O'Brien was sharp enough to pick up the phone and call John Elway in the first place.
That's true.
Thank you very much. Touche.
But I'm just saying, I don't know. I can't even tell you that I know a lot about Gerrion Conley, but I guess we're all going to find out.
Would it not be the most Bill O'Brien thing ever to go, I never even picked up the phone and thought about calling Denver because the guy I wanted all along
was, we wanted Conley. We've been eyeing him.
Was Conley.
Well.
Yeah.
You traded
did we expect that much better considering what the Texans have to offer? I mean, what did we expect?
But again, I said that's all along, and we even asked Lance, if you're giving up a third, but because Barry Bett put can I just say this? Okay. For the value of a third, it should at least warrant you getting a guy back that is considered better than average, not what I just heard from Barry about Conley.
Right.
I don't care if it's Chris Harris Jr. or not. I need someone that brings to the table a little less suck than what we're dealing with, as opposed to, and also with injuries.
By the way, he was started the year hurt, I believe.
See, when you make those faces, I already know what's coming out of your mouth next is not going to be
positive.
There's videos correct. On YouTube's and the Raiders website. Garen Conley discusses his injury against the Broncos. Coach Gruden provides updates on Conley. That's September 10th.
Good.
Oh, sweet.
Can't wait to have him help out right away. Mm. That's not what I good wanted times. To hear.
Conley leaves behind, this is according to SpotTrack's Twitter account, Conley leaves behind dead cap hit of $2 million in 2019, $1.4 million in 2020 to the Raiders, bringing with him a cash cap figure of $833 and $1.9 to the Texans, plus a fifth-year option in 2021.
So does the name Eli Rogers mean anything to you, Barry?
Huh?
Eli Rogers. Does okay. that name mean anything to you?
No.
Other than Steelers fan Juan, it probably won't. Eli Rogers, once of the Steelers, is being brought in for a workout today by the Texans because of the Will Fuller situation.
Okay.
So it just gets better.
Yeah, I think they're fine there because if QT can manage to stay healthy until Fuller gets back, Kenny Stills is a beast.
He is, man.
And he's fantastic.
That dude is a beast.
He's great, yep.
And they had to go in that situation knowing that Will Fuller was going to get hurt. I mean, I never wanted to say it on the air.
Yeah.
But he's been completely open about it.
He was
I'm
due.
Sore. I'm
you
sore.
You didn't
want
to give
I'm
him the
sore.
Matt Thomas jinx?
I didn't want to. I really didn't. I really didn't want to jinx him. But he's always saying after every game, my leg is still a little sore. My knee is still a little sore. This is still a little sore. And he's been playing basically, I would like to guess, 80 or 90% the entire season. The entire season.
Having a good year, too. You hate to see it, man.
Oh, no. He's been playing great. You're absolutely right. Can you look, Barry, at the break to see how Kayvon Webster ranks out cornerback? Because he's a street free agent. The Saints are working out today, and I would hope that your boy Bill 55. O'Brien
55.6.
Oh, so but he didn't. He could. He wouldn't cost
that's exactly what
he wouldn't cost you a third round pick. He could. You could just sign his ass, and then you still have your third round pick.
Gary Conley's defense 55.6 in coverage. He's a 60.
Saints are
Webster's
bringing him
a 52.9 in coverage.
Well, there you go.
There you go. That was worth three rounds in the draft.
That made the third round pick even more worth trading for. There you go. All right, so there's a little Texans news. We could probably shift gears for a little while. We'll always come back to the Astros as we get ready for the World Series. But if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us up on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. Whether you're getting ready to watch the World Series starting tomorrow night, or you want a great place to watch your favorite football team, whether it be college or pro, there's only one place to go, and it's got to be Twin Peaks. Simply put, it's got everything you need if you're going to get out of the house to watch sports, because it's got all the TVs all in the perfect spot in every part of the bar and restaurant, and it's going to have every sports package that you need. You want to watch soccer, you want to watch football, you want to watch pro and college football, you want to watch baseball. They got all the packages. You can watch them all simultaneously on all the same TVs. And this October, Twin Peaks is around the nation are going to be celebrating Pink Fridays all month long. Each Friday, support breast cancer by ordering any of the Sweet Things desserts. $2 from every order purchase is going to be donated to benefit breast cancer research throughout the Fairman Adams Project. And, of course, with the World Series starting, everybody's going to want to watch the series at a great location. And, by the way, the NBA starts this week. Barry hates that, but it's true. Nick and I are going to be pumped to see NBA games as well. No place better than Twin Peaks. 29-degree draft beers all the time at the bar. Made-from-scratch menu items from the apps to the meals. And, of course, all the sports and those beautiful Twin Peaks girls. There's only one place to go. Eats, drinks, scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Almost the halftime of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Monday. Lots to talk about. It was very Astros-centric for obvious reasons. We've rolled into a little bit of Texans after they made news by trading for just a top-notch cornerback from the Raiders for the third-round pick. Mr. Conley better live up to, I don't know if you could even say billing at this point, expectations. That would be great. But they're trying to get some help in the secondary. They obviously need some help at wide receiver because Will Fuller is going to be out at least for the short term with another injury, this time a hamstring. Thank God it's not season ending, but it's another setback for a team that has looked so good and getting better offensively. And obviously the injury bug takes a lot of different – first, Howard goes out in your offensive line. Stills is finally back after he sat out a week. Now you're going to lose Fuller for some time. You want to give all the weapons you can to Deshaun. But, you know, in looking at that game yesterday, and I know you got your notes on this, but, I mean, you could basically, cut it down to just a handful of plays, two or three plays where you could say, God, if they would have done this or that could have happened there. And you start with the in the grasp because that's the one that everybody's talking about. But Deshaun with his escapability – at quarterback. I don't know if it would have been reviewed because everybody's saying, well, D-Hop caught it for a touchdown. Well, he caught it, and then as he was crossing the goal line, he dropped it. But the bottom line was Deshaun extended the play. It was just his foot that was in the grasp of a defender. There wasn't anybody looking to take his head off. He was able to throw the football. It was a touchdown. They called it off. After the game, Watson said that the referee was trying to tell him he had his health in his best interest. That's why he made the call he did. Deshaun said, I couldn't talk him out of it. And I take it that he was trying to look out for my best interest. But he also said with his ability to extend plays that it obviously upset him.
It is a catch-22. As a fan, I wanted them to let him play.
Sure.
Objectively, though, you look at that and think, how – we talk about the fact that Deshaun Watson it can be injured because of the way he plays. And so you do understand why the referee would do that. I don't think it was malicious. I think somebody was tweeting me like, man, it's like it's 12 on 11 because they have to play the refs too. And there were some cases where the refs screwed it up. When they said that 70 didn't report as eligible, mm-hmm. He absolutely did. I saw him. In fact, I don't know why I was watching him, but if you go back, if you have the tape on your
I taped it. I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, if you have it, go back and watch that play. Remember when they said that they got a big first down and they said 70 didn't report as eligible? Yep. Go back and watch it. He absolutely did. Bill O'Brien was pissed and he should have been. But that's still, you have to convert in the red zone. The Texans didn't do that. They have no one to blame but themselves for the loss. They did not convert in the red zone. I thought Bill O'Brien had some weird, questionable decisions that he made about going for it on fourth down. I liked it early.
I agree.
Third and 31, you
keep
run
going.
The ball. That was kind of weird.
Got one that's at the top of my list.
Go ahead.
You got all your timeouts. You use one before the two-minute break.
Oh, yeah.
You got probably about 18 seconds before the two-minute warning.
You let it tick down.
You could get another one in and save so much time. Eventually, you would end up saving about 20 to 30 seconds, which you were going to need in that final drive. And you sat there with your reading glasses on, going, yep, like you knew what you were doing and it was the right move to make. You screwed that up, Bill O'Brien. And then they were rushed even more so that when they were trying to do their two-minute drill in 141 or whatever it was, that you can get to the other one that really bothered me, which was if you're Kiki QT, you get two hands on the ball initially. Then as it's coming down, you have a second chance to get both hands wrapped around that thing, but you tap it up in the air again. And unfortunately, look, they made a great play to intercept it, but that was really unfortunate because that would have been
a
huge
gain. It wasn't a good throw, though. I mean, that was such
high.
A bang-bang
was
play.
But again, they always say if you can get two hands on it, you're supposed to be able to bring that in. But if you stopped it with the initial two hands and coming down before the defenders got near you, you could see where he could bring it into his breadbasket. He just couldn't secure it. I'm not going to place a lot of blame on anybody
but I wish
that play would have happened. The other two, though, I was passionate about.
Yeah, and the only time that the Texans were effective on offense was when they were in hurry-up mode.
For sure.
Whether it was to start the fourth
quarter.
Which I
don't understand why they don't do more of.
That was the thing, is you knew that the way you were playing that Colts defense and the way the Colts defense was playing you, it was ineffective to go out there and run your standard offense. When they did go hurry-up, they were more effective. I don't know why they didn't stick with that, but they kind of did it, and then they stopped. And then, of course, in the fourth quarter, I mean, it was early in the fourth quarter. They're going for it on fourth down, and they're
on their own side of the field.
On their own side of the field. Which was a ballsy call. I don't know if I questioned that a little bit.
I'm
like,
totally
why not just
did.
Punt? You've got all your timeouts and plenty of time. You have a whole quarter, all right? And maybe he just thought to me, that showed a lack of trust in your defense. And I don't know why, but I will say, to me, the big difference in this game was the Colts converted in the red zone and the Texans didn't. Period, end of story. They earned that loss, if you want to put it a weird way. They earned their loss.
And I totally agree that that there was some questionable decision-making. But despite some of the bad decisions, I actually felt like the Texans didn't do too bad in the fourth quarter. I mean, if you look at the chronological, they get that defensive stop. Mm-hmm. Watson throws an interception. You're like, oh, God, this is over. But then they get another defensive stop, leaving a boy 5 or 6 minutes left in the game. There was an opportunity to win this game despite the mistakes. I actually didn't think they played terrible in the fourth quarter. And I'm not as angry as I normally would be with the Texans and Bill O'Brien and after a loss. They could have won that game in the fourth.
And you could even understand from a field position standpoint the safety. Because you know.
That was a smart
move. Yeah, it was actually a smart move. But when you start saying that was the smart move, the dumb one was how much time you let run off the clock.
Yeah.
When you got the ball back.
Yeah. They got that defense. I mean, when they got that three and out after the interception, I'm like, look, man, the Texans want to win this game. They want to win this
game.
Or
at least
send
it to overtime, right? They were going to at least score to send it to overtime.
Sure.
And I felt really good about it because what Deshaun has normally been able to do every time he's put in that position.
Yeah, I thought they threw up the stat. I think it was 4 for 6 on game-winning drives or 3 for 6 on game-winning drives that are in the fourth quarter and overtime combined. I forgot the exact number. They put it on the graphic in the TV. I felt like the chances were relatively good. It just didn't happen. So I'm not as angry. Obviously, they should have got that. They needed that win considering it was a divisional game. But at the end of the day, if they can kind of carry over anything that they did in the fourth quarter, especially defensively, I don't think it's a complete loss. I think they can carry that over into the next game.
It just puts more pressure on the fact that they got to get a split and they got to beat the Colts here in order to make sure that they split with them because obviously they fell out of first place. But more importantly, the Colts are still undefeated in the division. So that's something that you have to weigh into it because it is a two-team race for the division.
It was weird because coming in, we talked about last week, we talked about T.Y. Hilton as a Texan killer.
Yep.
And he showed up, but yes, Pascal is the guy that went off.
Yeah,
that whole the whole passing game for the Colts was highly effective against a weak and depleted Texan secondary. And I say weak and depleted because I think your best corner in Roby was out. Jonathan Joseph is a shell of himself,
right.
And obviously Lonnie Johnson has a lot to learn. But you thought that the Colts might try to run the ball, and they did. They opened up with 4 or 5 passing plays in a row. And that just continued. This is a Colts team that ran the ball really well. I think the Colts and the Texans were 4 or 5 in rushing yards. Mm-hmm. Texans go for 100 yards. Colts go for 62. And I think if you felt like, hey, if we get hold the Colts to 62 yards, there's a chance that we win that game as a Texan. But then Jacoby Brissett beats them for 326 yards.
One thing for everybody that was so concerned when Luck retired was the fact that it's solidified now that they got their number one. And Brissett can play. And he continues to get better. But he ran that offense. And like you said, if you're not going to run the ball, and he's not going to be a running quarterback too, and he's making passes like that, as a Colts fan, you got to love that. And the other big key was he made a tough pass. Ebron makes an incredible mm-hmm. one-handed catch. But if he doesn't catch that mm-hmm. ball, the scenario is a lot different too.
Yeah. And the other thing too, I realized they gave up 3 sacks. One of them for sure was nobody's fault. A tight end stepped on, I think it was Henderson's foot. Mm-hmm. He fell down, mm-hmm. and they gave up the sack on that play. And that's just going to happen. I mean, that's just feet getting tangled. That was nobody's fault. So if you really want to look at it, the offensive line gave up 2 sacks. Or Deshaun Watson and the offensive line.
Yeah, I was going to say, because there was either, whether you want to call it a coverage sack or Deshaun hanging on to it a little bit. But again, the one thing you're not bitching about today is the play of the offensive line. I think overall, again, even though it wasn't, like you said, one of the 2 consecutive non-sack games, I don't think you can complain about the fact that this line continues to get better, get more solidified, even with an injury now. They're still playing good football.
Did I say Henderson? I meant Johnson, Roderick Johnson. Mm-hmm. And he went out with an injury, and Skipper came in. I was like,
you know, they had Gilligan on the sideline if they needed him too.
They were like, it was 70 again, the Skipper, and he was coming in to replace Roderick Johnson. I was like, oh boy, I don't even know who the hell this Skipper cat is. And then I watched him; he did pretty good until he completely whiffed on a run block. They got stuffed in the backfield. I was like, oh, there we go. There's the Texan coming out in him.
If it comes down to the Skipper on your offensive line, it ain't going to be clear sailing for the Texans. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But overall, look, like I said, you're not bitching about the offensive line. They could have run the ball a little bit more. And Nick, to your point, you're right. When they play up-tempo, they can catch anybody off guard with the weapons that they have. And I go back to my own experiences watching the Packers. When Rodgers had that calf injury, they would play up-tempo because defenses can't adjust. And if you have enough weapons, it's advantage offense. Mm. So maybe that's something they should consider doing more. Mm-hmm. So we can continue talking about the Texans in the second half of the show. Lots more to get to there, NFL-wise and otherwise. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line, as well as hitting us on Twitter. And by the way, of all the things happening this week, Barry is jazzed because the NBA season kicks off this week. And that means basketball is back, ladies and gentlemen, and it's back in your backyard. Russell Westbrook joins the Rockets for his first official games, and you can be there to see him. It's going to be Rockets basketball, and the first three home games are all must-watches. First of all, Thursday night, opening night, Rockets and the reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. The last three MVPs all on the same court for the opener. Pretty much enough said. Then the Pelicans coming to town on Saturday, October 26th. Zion's going to be out, but the new-look Pelicans have a lot of talent with Ball and all the Ingram and all the different guys that they got from the Lakers to make that team better, including a nice free agent pickup in J.J. Redick. Pelicans Rockets on a Saturday night, great thing to go see. And finally, CP3 coming back to H-Town with the Thunder Monday, October 28th. It's CP3 versus Harden. It's CP3 and Westbrook. It's going to be intense, and you want to be there. All the games are going to be definite sellouts, so get your tickets now before it's too late. Rockets.com. You don't want to miss it. First three home games, big time. Rockets opener this week, Thursday night, Rockets.com.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city. Good news, Astros win, go to the World Series. Bad news, Texans lose at Indy, fall out of first place in the division. News, they traded for a corner.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's good or bad.
It right there.
Somebody texted the show and said, I'm a Raiders fan. I can assure you, Conley is garbage on a hot summer Houston day. And then I saw some fan blog, which you never know. I just Google. I'm looking for grades on Conley.
Well, there's
and the Just Blog Baby on Fansided said that in 2018, he evolved into a shutdown corner. So I think the truth lies somewhere in between some blogger on a Fansided blog and a fan that's watched him. He's probably meh. And you gave up a third rounder for that. That's not good.
So essentially we stay with the Texans track record, which is give up too much for a guy that may be not what you wanted in the first place, but it's going to get you through.
On the plus side, somebody did text and say, well, at least they can't screw up that third round pick.
It's a good point.
Yeah, you can. Well, I mean, you can if you trade for him. If you care, I just for fun, his Madden rating is a 79. It's not terrible.
I was going to say, that's better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I thought it would be like a 70 or a 69.
I see what you did there.
69.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's about. Now, somebody did ask, well, what about the third rounders? We don't know what year it was. At least I haven't seen. Nick, if you find anything, let us know. But I haven't seen what year the third rounder is. But then they wanted to know, does Houston even have a third rounder? Well, they got the third rounder for the Clowney in the Jadeveon Clowney trade. Right. So if it's this year's pick, then that's what they traded for. They have another third rounder, but if Duke Johnson is active for 10 games, then the Browns get it. They also would get the Texans' fourth rounder in 2020 if he is active. So you say it's the 2020 pick that it was that he traded?
Oh no, the Texans shipped the 2020 third round draft pick to the Raiders.
Okay, so then that would be the one that they got for Clowney. So you flipped Clowney. You got Barcavius Mingo,
woo!
Jacob Martin.
Yeah!
And
give me that cherry on top. Conley!
Conley for Jadeveon Clowney.
Super Bowl, bitches! God, what are you doing?
God, this GM's going to get fired. I can just tell you right now.
At least it won't affect the coach.
Their GM. Texans GM is just awful.
Good Lord.
Well, we'll see. I, you know, I wasn't thrilled about the Tunsil trade with Stills, even though you knew it had to be done and they mortgaged their future, but they got some players. But Stills has outperformed my expectations. He's looked really, really good.
Yep.
Tunsil, despite a couple false starts and some dumb penalties, he's played very well, I thought. He's been a big part of why they haven't given up sacks, along with some other things. Changing up the offense, getting Deshaun Watson a different look and a different mindset in the pocket. By the way, he had a big throw I was proud of. I wrote it as one of my notes. I don't remember when it was exactly, but there was a throw where he stood in the pocket rather than running. It started to collapse, and in the past, what we've seen from Deshaun Watson is he'll be in the pocket, and as it collapses, he just leaves. Mm-hmm. And this time, what he did is he moved up in the pocket, which is great because sure. You want to see your quarterback do that. Rather than taking off necessarily, you'd like to see a guy move up in a pocket. A lot of pocket quarterbacks will do that. They learn how to maneuver. Watch Brissett in the pocket. He moved around. He moved up. And Deshaun Watson did that. I thought, ooh, maybe he's turning a corner. I mean, we'll find out. He still got sacked twice. But that was good to see on at least the one play where he's working on staying a little calmer in the pocket and moving around.
No, I agree with you on that. And I think the other thing that I noticed, too, was the fact that there were a couple times where when his progressions weren't there, like you said, normally he was trying to elongate the play and he was hanging in there too long, putting pressure on the line. He took the check down. He took the final check down and took.
And that's part of changing the offense.
Exactly. Yeah. And also his maturity to show that he understands that even if it's a 3-yard gain, it's a hell of a lot better than a sack and a 7-yard loss.
And that play, on my notes, it was a downfield play to Stills.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's.
I'm gonna tell you this too, Barry. Cody tweeted the show. And he said, seriously, I joke about the fact that the Texans trading away all their picks, they're doing it so they don't have the pressure to use them. But it really starting to look true. Why do you need a GM if you have no picks? If you're Bill O'Brien, you could trade them all away, and then there's not going to be as much pressure?
Well, let's recap here. Assuming...
what do they got left now?
Bless. So assuming that Duke Johnson is active for 10 games this mm-hmm. year, which I think he will be barring right. injury. Yeah. Okay. The Texans will have a second rounder, uh-huh. a fourth rounder, and then their fifth and seventh.
Well, joy.
And next year's draft. They'll have a second, a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh because they shipped their first round pick to the Dolphins for Tunsil. Uh-huh. They shipped their third round pick that they got for Clowney to the Raiders. And they shipped
for
another
pile
third,
of garbage.
They shipped another third round pick for Duke Johnson. And then they shipped. Their fourth rounder for Duke Johnson. So,
just one quick second here. Just as a note for fans listening
they
to the show.
Get their fourth. I'm sorry, they do get a fourth round pick from the Dolphins.
Oh, we'll keep that in mind. So here's the thing. For all of you listening
fourth.
That continually to bombard me on Twitter with the fact that the Texans should trade for Patrick Peterson, this is why you cannot even fathom that
thought.
You have
a second, a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh next year because the Patriots got their sixth round pick for Keon Crossan.
Want me to say it or just
can't make it up?
Good Lord,
this is boy, God, what a mess. 2021,
they can't get out of their own way.
Even I hate the way Ian Rappaport tweets it too. It just makes it sound worse. Clown, it's essentially Clowney for Conley, and you probably already said this, Barry. Yeah. Conley, Mingo, and Martin.
Yeah,
that just sounds terrible the way he said. Yeah, he
but
puts
he's right.
it in a tweet.
Yeah,
it just sounds terrible.
Barcavius, Mingo, Jacob Martin, and Conley for Jadeveon Clowney is what you know.
That's terrible. That sounds
now,
terrible. At
now,
least.
2020
oh, it
sounds
is terrible,
bad.
Nick. It doesn't just worry about how it sounds. It is terrible.
Let me recap. 2020, you have a second, a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh. Let's move on to 2021. Let's not even dwell on next year. We got a GM. We're going to move on. 2021 is our year. They've got, a third.
They don't even have the second
no!
that year?
No. They gave that to the Dolphins.
God, that's
along with the first that year. The Dolphins have a first and a second from the Texans in 2021, along with the first from this next year in 2020. So their first pick in the 2021 draft will be in the third round. They go third, fourth, fifth, sixth. They have two sixths. Woo! Two sixths and a seventh. Draft picks after the fifth round, really after
Our
the fourth
special
round.
Special teamers at best.
Yeah, really after the fourth round. So they have a third and a fourth round pick in 2021.
Well, that'll get you Patrick Peterson.
Good Lord! Yeah, and you're wondering why I'm saying they don't have anything to trade for Chris Harris.
But if you were going to give up
they
a third,
don't.
Barry, get Chris Harris Jr. Don't
Joel,
get Conley.
You can't assume Chris Harris was worth a third rounder. You can't assume that was going to get it, and that's what you're doing.
You're saying that his price tag was higher.
Yes.
But you don't know unless you ask. You gotta be. But you gotta be out there pounding the pavement, busting the phone lines.
Don't sound like a caller. You don't know that they didn't ask.
You gotta ask,
Barry. Yeah. By the way, before I hang up,
a fifth rounder.
Hey, before I hang up, when's your next show?
I hate you so much.
Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling through hour number two of the show. Lots of stuff we've been getting to here on the show as we've spanning the globe to bring you the best in sports and otherwise. It's The Usual Suspects. Monday.
You had a up and down weekend, huh?
Yeah, we already talked about the whiskey losing.
And then Green Bay winning, yeah. Astros winning.
Yep. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
I'll take them. Because I'll tell you what, Saturday, like Lisa wanted to go, she and Taylor got this thing. They love Sweet Tomato.
Oh yeah,
because Taylor loves the ice cream bar and
I love sweet
and
tomato.
The pizza. Yeah, and I normally like it too, but I'm watching the Wisconsin game and they keep bugging me to go like late lunch, early dinner. And I watch the field goal through the uprights, and I know that they've crapped on every possibility of being considered for a big time bowl. And they're like, "Hey, ready? Let's go!" No, not really that jazzed, but I'm gonna go.
I don't want to.
No, I'm pissed. And I am going to hit the ice cream machine now, but I am
I'm
not
eat
happy.
My feelings.
Yeah, I am not happy. And Lisa loves that because Lisa loves me to eat like a pregnant woman.
Oh,
when
really?
Whatever she orders, like literally, I'll just finish my salad, and she's like, "So, you going to the dessert bar?" I'm looking at her. I'm sorry. I'm already laughing. She goes, "What's so funny?" I go, "If I say no, you're going to look like I just stole your dog. If I say yes, you're going to want to go with me to assure that I get it, that I'm not just saying that." Because she knows that she finds no gratification in the dessert unless I participate.
Really?
It pisses her off when I don't eat dessert and she does.
Because she won't feel as guilty if you do it.
She wants you to put on. Yeah. Wants you to consume the calories,
I think that's
too.
True.
She wants you to feel guilty about it,
She didn't want
to
hear that, but I think that's true.
Yeah.
So.
My only thing about that game, that Wisconsin-Illinois game, was post-game. Lovie Smith's beard.
All game it annoyed me.
Magnificent.
It annoyed me though because he looked like
it's amazing. It's magnificent. It's a manly beard.
Black
What's
Santa.
Wrong with it?
Black Santa was coaching Illinois.
Black Santa.
And I don't think Lovie Smith without the beard looks that old. But look.
Yeah, he looks significantly older with the beard.
He looks
no
kind
doubt.
Of homeless.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's a different look for him, and believe me, that was a win he needed because he had been really struggling.
Win.
Yeah, and it was a big-time win. I will say this. Unlike the games that we saw where, like, South Carolina dominated the entire time when they finally beat Georgia. They were winning that whole game. Wisconsin was winning the whole game against Illinois. They were just peeing away lots of opportunities to add to the scoreboard. And then a kid in Cone, their quarterback, he threw one pick all year going into the final drive, and they were just dinking and dunking, getting first downs. They just were going to run out the clock, and he throws a pick, and now you're like, oh boy, because now they got the ball near midfield, and they hadn't been doing a whole bunch offensively. They got two runs when they needed them that got them some chunk yards. Before you know it, there goes the field goal, and there goes your chances for everything down the road. So I think they got what they deserved, and believe me, they're playing at the Horseshoe this week against Ohio State. Their defense is good enough to keep them in for a while. Their offense is even close to Ohio State's, so they're going to lose two in a row.
Well, they tumbled in the standing in the rankings. They
16.
They in 13.
My guess. Okay,
13. They fell 7 spots to number 13. That was the biggest. Well, I take that back. Boise State fell 8 down to 22, and Arizona State fell 7. So that was your biggest movers, and those were all movers down. Ohio State moved up to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Florida moved up a couple spots. Auburn moved up a couple spots, now in the top 10. and Baylor moved up four spots. Boy, Baylor's not getting a lot of mentions, but they're
playing good football.
They've cracked the top 15.
There's
now.
The reason why Rhule got an extension and has been so highly regarded to get into what was just a complete hornet's nest with everything that had happened with Briles. And to get that program playing the way they're playing, like you said, especially this year, how good they are without getting as much notice, kudos to them. That's a nice little run.
I don't know who deserves most of the credit in that program, but that is crazy. Because I was saying on the air that this is going to be a 6-7 year ordeal before we even see Baylor back in any type of discussion for them to be ranked.
Well, they're about to get into the teeth of their schedule, though. After they play West Virginia, they've got TCU, Oklahoma, and Texas.
Oh, yeah.
So enjoy this ranking now, because by the time the season is done, they'll probably be out of the top 25.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be surprising. I mean,
no.
Considering what they've gone through.
But it's
still impressive what they've done so far.
Oh, yeah. But they played SFA, UTSA, and Rice for their first three games. So, okay.
Sure.
And then they
played. It's like the Cowboys.
Yeah. Iowa State, K State, Texas Tech.
The Lumberjacks are for real, bro.
Now, if you were going to say the Bearcats. They always are for real, just on a different level.
Yeah.
But the Lumberjacks?
My sister went to that school. That's the only reason why I even know that they're Lumberjacks.
No excuse.
SFA.
Okay.
The Fighting Lumberjacks.
That only people in Texas.
I call it Nacogdoches, Texas.
I was going to say, only people in Texas know that it's Nacogdoches instead of the.
When I was a kid, I could not call it Nacogdoches. Every time we drove there to drop my sister off on campus, I would say, we're going to Nacogdoches? They're like, no. No, Nick, we're not going to Nacogdoches.
That's not even a thing, you weirdo kid.
It was a weird city. I had to come up with a weird name.
Call Granado and just quiz him.
What? Really?
Male golfer, female golfer, food. Nacogdoches won off the lead. Two holes to play.
See, you ain't right.
Nacogdoches with two egg rolls on the side, please. White rice.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm just going.
Wow. That was Joel Blank.
Nick
saying
created
Nacogdoches.
It's not a person. Joel Nick created Nacogdoches.
But you ran with it, though.
Yeah, you did.
I ain't mad about that. Where else are you going?
I'm not.
He just stopped talking. He's like, I'm just going to stop talking for the rest of the segment. Barry's like so uncomfortable right now.
Just let it marinate for you. Actually, what I was doing is.
I honestly think someone asked me who I think right now, and this was a discussion we had on this show last week. But if you're just going to reward those teams and how they've played and who they've played to this point in the season, I would say LSU and Ohio State should be 1-2.
I definitely agree on LSU. I felt like LSU should have been moved up to number one a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had a tough go of it so far and have proven more than capable and worthy of the number one spot.
Yeah, so you can tell me later in the year they play so-and-so and so, and we'll adjust accordingly. But for right now, at this point in the season, as dominant as Ohio State has been, and they really haven't played anybody either.
Right.
But so, you know, if you don't have them ahead of Alabama, fine. But I think your three best teams to this point in the year, you start with LSU, and then you can have a coin flip between Alabama and Ohio State. And now Alabama's real colors are going to show, because Tua not only had the high ankle sprain, but he had surgery to repair it. Oof. And they were hoping he'd only miss a week. But if you had it's one thing to just use the ice and the, you know, all the different treatment. But if you're going to have surgery for a high ankle sprain, it's going to be a couple weeks. I think that I really want to see how they play now, because they don't have a two-headed quarterback situation where they could have gone back and forth like they did in the past with Jalen Hurts and with Tua. It's going to be real interesting to see how they play now.
Yeah, so you got Ohio State. Their one, I mean, their signature win is Michigan State, who was 25 at the time.
It was okay.
Yeah, that's not saying much. They do get Wisconsin this coming week, like you said. Clemson really doesn't have a signature win. The Aggies, who have fallen out of the top 25. And then Bama's signature win is the Aggies, who have fallen out of the top 25. So you've got the concern, if you're Bama, I guess, is that you get Arkansas this week. That's mm-hmm. fine, even without Tua.
Sure.
But if you don't get him back, the game after Arkansas is LSU.
Yep.
And that's a big game.
Huge game.
Yeah. And so, Tua's going to be off a week. Maybe he's rested. Maybe he's ready to go.
Maybe if he gets hit at any point during the game.
Exactly. Is he 100%? And, yeah, you don't have a Jalen Hurts to back him up. But the Tigers, their signature wins obviously was Texas early on and then Florida. They have Auburn this week. If they beat Auburn, Don't you have to put them at number one?
I really believe
they would have beaten nine.
In my mind, they should already be there. But you're right.
At the time that they played them, if they beat Auburn, they would have beaten number nine Texas, number seven Florida, and number nine Auburn. You've got three top 10 wins.
Yep.
And you're still not number one, and Bama just has their one top 25 win.
Again, keep it real.
But we'll find out when they play Bama.
To this point in the season, that's what your ranking should be. Not based on potential. Not based on first-round picks or where they're going to be at the end of the year. Base it on what you've seen to this point.
Yeah.
From what I've seen to this point, LSU should be number one.
And if you're any other team than LSU, if you're Alabama, if you're Clemson, who's the one team you don't want to play this year? Probably LSU.
Absolutely.
Because
especially now that they have offense. Yeah. Right. Especially now they have a quarterback. They've always had weapons offensively. But the fact that they have everything offensively that they haven't had in the past should scare the daylights out of you.
Yeah.
And that should be a big deal. Well, and if you're Clemson, and by the way, finally, Dabo decided he had had enough because they're lucky they're not playing anybody right now. The way they're playing, the way their future lotto pick NFL quarterback is throwing to the other team
and is
just winging it on like both feet in the air trying to throw it 40 yards across his body. No.
He's like, that's just stupid.
Yep.
That's just dumb. I say, what are you doing? That was stupid. That was dumb. What are you doing? By the way, the gap is closing between Bama and LSU.
Wait, I thought Forever 21 closed, not the gap.
Oh my God.
Oh. Nick's loving that. So the gap's open, but Forever 21's closing. What were you saying?
Alabama had 30 first place votes last week. LSU had 12. Yeah. This week, Bama has 24. LSU has 16.
Okay.
So the margin is narrowing.
But you get your wish, too. In 2 weeks, you get
some big time football. That's going to really decide.
There you go. We got two in the book. Still got an hour to go of the show. That means 6 minutes on the clock when we come back. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.